I asked the commander there, how many terrorists did you take out in Rafah? He gave me an exact number, 1,203. I asked him, how many civilians were killed? He said, Prime Minister, practically none, with the exception of a single incident where shrapnel from a bomb hit a Hamas weapons depot and unintentionally killed 24 people. The answer is practically none. You want to know why? Because Israel got the civilians out of harm's way, something people said we could never do, but we did it.
You're saying that children in Gaza are being shot by snipers.
Definitively. I have two children that I have photographs of that were shot so perfectly in the chest I couldn't put my stethoscope over their heart more accurately, and directly on the side of the head in the same child. No toddler gets shot twice by mistake by the world's best sniper. And they're dead center shots. All of the disasters I've seen combined, 40 mission trips, 30 years, ground zero, earthquakes, all of that combined doesn't equal the level of carnage that I saw against civilians in just my first week in Gaza.
One American doctor told us he even reviewed CT scans to confirm what he saw because he, quote, didn't believe that this many children could be admitted to a single hospital with gunshot wounds to the head.
זאת התרבות הישראלית, אנחנו מסתכלים עליהם כנחותים מאיתנו, אנחנו מתהלכים בהבנה שהערבי שווה פחות מאיתנו. לכן הוא מקבל את הביתה, ולכן הוא מקבל את הסתירה, ולכן אנחנו מחנכים כלבים שננעלים על הסתתות שלהם ולא עוזבים אותם, לכן אנחנו יורים בהם, כי הם לא שווים. כי מי זה המנובל הזה? שקופץ לי לגדר, אני מוריד אותו עכשיו בכדור בראש, יא אמא, איזה סרט בן זונה עשיתי. כי מי זה ערבים? הם לא שווים, הם כלום, הם תת אדם, הם אפר, הם אפר, הם זבל. ואני אומר לך שככה אנחנו מחנכים את הילדים.
That's why Zionism is opposed to Judaism, and never mind the fact that the Zionists violate the Jewish religion in all sorts of ways. The very definition of a Jew according to Zionists is different than the definition of a Jew according to Judaism. All Zionisms, instead of talking about the definition of Zionism, it's better to realize that every Zionism presupposes two things. Thing number one, the Jews are a nationality, not just a religion. Thing number two, Israel is the state of that nationality. What Japan is to the Japanese and France is to the French, Israel is to the Jews. And therefore, by the way, that's why Netanyahu and all of these guys say anti-Zionism has to be anti-Semitism. This is coming from Benjamin Netanyahu. You cannot say I'm against the existence of the United States of America, but I want an American identity. You can't say I'm against the existence of France and say I want a French identity. So too, you can't say I'm against the existence of Israel and want a Jewish identity. Without Israel, it's like French without France. It's like the Japanese without Japan. Now, the whole thing is baloney because the Jews existed way before Israel did. We exist now independent of Israel. There is no connection between the existence of the Jews, the identity of the Jews, and the state of Israel. Yet, the state of Israel wants to own Jewish identity to the point where Japan is to the Japanese, what Israel is to the Jews. That's Zionism. It's the nationalization of Jewish identity.
Israel has killed at least 50 Palestinians in Gaza in the last 24 hours. The civil defense said they've retrieved at least 60 bodies from Gaza's city Shuja'iyah district, where Israeli forces have left a trail of destruction after withdrawing from parts of the neighborhood.
על הניסים שנעשו בנחל ארנון, שערים נמחצו ואז הגויים, הדם שלהם נשפך.
וואו, מפנדסי, וואו. אור 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 אור
And the entire world, I tell you this, we want our hostages back, and they better be back before I assume office, or you will be paying a very big price.
We did it.
When I'm back in the White House, the United States will stand with Israel all the way, 100%, without hesitation, without qualification, and without any apology. We're not going to be apologizing. We will fully support the Israelis in their mission.
Can you see how it works, folks? Can you see what's actually going on here? Trump is going to completely support the total destruction of Palestine. Now, the United States has lent Israel, or it's given Israel, $3 trillion in foreign aid since Israel was formed. $3 trillion. Now, that number's so big that people just can't even comprehend how much it really is. It's incredible, folks, what's going on here. You know, and all of the candidates for presidency, all the candidates for governor, just about all candidates for every political office in the United States, all always swear to pledge allegiance to Israel. It's part of their campaign rhetoric. They always make sure it's a point of their campaign rhetoric. And the answer for that is simple. It's because the United States is a vassal state of Israel. Israel runs, it owns the United States.
Candidates will instead compete to win over Benjamin Netanyahu, the foreign leader who actually decides elections in our sham of a democracy.
Gentlemen, you have 90 seconds. Go!
Believe me, I'll send you the best, most beautiful weapons, tanks, jets, you name it.
Come on, man. I'll completely defund the ICC and the ICJ. You can't get charged with genocide if there's no group that can... the can liver if there's no group that can preside over a genocide.
Oh, please, Joe. BB, listen. I'll let you kill thousands of babies. So many babies.
I'll give you my own son, Obama. I mean Hunter.
I'll let you kill Ivanka's children, BB.
I'll speed deliver baby-killing artillery shells, BB. White phosphorus, cluster bombs, all of it.
You know what? I won't just expedite your weapon shipments. I'll let you ethnically cleanse all of Gaza and even parts of Egypt.
I'll make sure AIPAC doesn't have to register as a foreign agent.
I will invade Iran for you.
I will cancel free speech.
I will kill every student protester in America.
Enough of this metaphorical dick sucking. I will actually suck your dick.
No, believe me, you don't want him sucking your dick. He can't finish the job. I'll suck your dick. Hey.
Wow, there you have it, folks. Both presidents are literally sucking Netanyahu's dick.
Well, Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East.
That's great, Mr. President, but he likes it when you stroke the shaft.
Cradle the balls.
Here's another one to keep it going, Mr. President. Good work.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, folks, and that's pretty much how it works. You know, this shot in the ear that Trump received, if he received it, I'm beginning to doubt it more and more every day. It was such a gift to him, and it was such a gift to Israel. As I showed you at the start in those opening clips, Israel's actually minting a coin with Trump's face on it. You know, this guy's supposed to be the President of the United States, or he's going to be. And you've got foreign countries minting coins with his face on it. Because Trump promised them that he would move the embassy to Jerusalem, which, by the way, is what inspired and emboldened the Israelis to carry out this terror assault against the Gaza Strip. And that's what it is, folks. It's a full-blown terrorist assault. They are killing everything that moves. Bibi Netanyahu is saying they went into one place and there was one casualty. And you notice the numbers haven't moved for the last 3 months. They've been saying there's 39,000 dead, including 17,000 children. And that number hasn't moved for like 3 or 4 months. And they've been going in there doing bombing raids the whole time. As soon as Trump's ear got shot, that day they started bombing Gaza again, and they blew up 4 schools in 4 days and 2 refugee camps. People are being shot in the street just as they're trying to escape. Hit in the head with sniper fire, large caliber bullets, because it's literally blowing their heads off. You know, parents walking down the street with their children and suddenly their heads explode and the children are left to run off on their own. Imagine what that does to a child, to see your parents' head explode as you're walking down the road. And they wonder where the terrorists come from. Why do they hate us so much? I mean, everything I showed you in that opening clip shows you why they hate them so much. It shows what the attitude is of the Israelis towards the Palestinian people. It's absolutely disgraceful. And that's what's going on, folks. They're absolutely devastating the place. Sniper fire. They changed the safe zone. They always change the safe zone. They get everybody to move there, set up tents, and then they say, no, we're going to bomb here. You've got to go to a different safe zone. What they did is they reduced the size of the safe zone from 45 kilometers to 28 kilometers and told everyone they had to squeeze into 28 kilometers. They dropped flyers to let them know that they had to move, and then 30 minutes later, they started bombing. 400,000 people had to evacuate that area. And in 30 minutes after they dropped the flyers, they started bombing the place. This is what Israel does. It's absolutely unconscionable. And Trump is going to absolutely support this. And he's going to sell the United States down the river. He really is, folks. It's just ridiculous. You know? And they've had, 8 years of Trumpism so far. We've had Trump got elected for 4 years, and all he really did was increase the national debt by about threefold. And then you had Biden come in, and now Trump's going to take the reins again, and you'll probably get in for another 8 years, and that will be 16 years that everyone's been focused on Trump. As I said when he first got elected, when he first started running, this is their Trump card. This is the guy who's going to usher in the New World Order, and it's so obvious that that's what's going on, folks, it really is. And of course, they had to do it this way. You think about it. They locked the world down through COVID. I mean, you had Trump in there to make the decisions to do that. He was the one who closed the borders, locked everybody down, told them they couldn't go to work, told them they couldn't see their grandparents. He's the one who rolled out the jab, which has killed tens of millions of people all around the world and is continuing to kill people all over the world. It's just non-stop, the vax damage that we're seeing from everyone.
So without getting into too much sort of complicated immunology, I feel that a huge part of why we're seeing cancers in young people, the likes of which we've never seen before, is the damage to the immune system caused by the lipid nanoparticle, the mRNA, and the spike protein. The additional complication to this is that there's something else in the vaccine that no one thought was there, and that's the DNA contamination. The DNA contamination that's in every single vial of Pfizer and Moderna, and it's DNA plasmids, DNA fragments, and the plasmids, of course, contain the spike protein sequence. They contain other sequences like the SV40 promoter sequence. SV40 is a carcinogenic simian virus 40, so there's that element to it. And there's trillions of copies of this stuff, right? So you're literally injecting lipid nanoparticles, mRNA, and trillions of copies of DNA plasmids and fragments, which have been identified in every single vial. And the regulatory agencies have come out and said, well, okay, now we know that it's in there, but we're not going to do any testing, and we think it's fine. We think it doesn't cause any problems. If these things integrate into your DNA, they can knock out tumor suppressor genes. So you knock out tumor suppressor proteins, which, again, protect you against cancer. You're knocking out entire mechanisms in your body that protect you against cancer.
I've been doing high-risk obstetrics for 43 years. I see a vast number of patients a year. I don't know of any other maternal-fetal medicine physician in this country that sees as many patients as I do by ultrasound. At one point in time this year, I was on track to see 9,000 high-risk OB ultrasounds. So I know what's going on, and I've seen death and destruction like I've never seen before.
The stillbirth rate is measured in terms of live births per 1,000. And really, it's come down in my career from about 10 to about almost 5.8 or 6. Now let's go to 2021 and look at the stillbirth rate for Michelle's. This is horrifying. But if you take this death figure and you look at that rate at 29.3, that sigma that you're looking at is 40 plus sigma, standard deviation. Let that sink in. This is from Waterloo, Canada. 83 stillbirths, about 4,000 deliveries. That exact same thing you saw with Michelle's. If that weren't bad enough, look at this. I couldn't even put it. There were 13 dead fetuses in one 24-hour period. One 24-hour period.
1,200-fold increases in menstrual abnormalities. And then when we get into pregnancy, we're looking at a substantial increase in miscarriages, in birth defects, a substantial risk of fetal cardiac arrhythmia, fetal cardiac malformations, significant fetal growth slowing, significant reduction in amniotic fluid, fetal cardiac arrest.
Are you saying babies are having heart attacks in the womb?
Yes. the vaccine causes a significant inflammatory effect.
Three different safety monitoring systems. Again, they found no significant safety signals for the mother or for the fetus, because we have to remember in obstetrics, we're dealing with two patients.
So no increased risks to be vaccinated while pregnant.
Anything that causes inflammation in my business, in my area of expertise, causes damage, injury, death, and destruction in pregnancy. We've known that for half a century.
Of course, they're not saying it's vaccine damage. They're saying cardiac arrest and all sorts of other crap like that. But we know that it's all vaccine damage. But he's the one who did all that. He ushered all of that in. And, of course, they're not going to leave him in there. Like, he's only in there for 4 years, and then he's got another 4 years, so it's four-year terms. They're not going to leave him in there for 4 years while they've got the world in lockdown. They need a bumbling old fool like Biden to do that, you know. They can launder all the money of European countries and all the money out of the United States, out of Canada, out of England, and launder it through Ukraine. They've sent billions of dollars, like tens of billions of dollars to Ukraine. It's ridiculous. I mean, if you look at all of the European economies combined, and Canada and England and Australia and all these countries that have been sending aid to Ukraine, it's probably hundreds of billions of dollars. I was told by a friend the other day that Zelensky actually owns three apartment buildings in Georgia. Not US Georgia, the Georgia next to Russia in Europe. But this is where the money's going, folks. He's got an incredibly expensive mansion in Florida. I think he owns three other houses in Florida. Plus, it's been confirmed that he owns at least three high-rise buildings, apartment blocks, in Georgia. So it's been a massive money laundering operation. But they had the whole world in lockdown. They had all of this stuff going on. They don't want Trump there while there's nothing really going on. It's all just running according to COVID plans and according to Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates' plans for the last 4 years. And now, at the end of all that, now the money laundering's finished, they'll put Trump back in. Trump will end the war with Ukraine with one phone call, like he said, and Putin will be a good little boy and go home, and it'll stop World War III. Trump will be the savior. He's already seen as the savior of the United States. I mean, this bullet shot to the ear, if it even occurred, has given him Christ-like qualities, according to the people of the United States. It's absolutely unreal how they're all saying he was saved by God and all sorts of stuff. I mean, Trump's a businessman. He wasn't saved by God. He's done a lot of bad shit in his life, the same as all businessmen. You don't get rich by doing good deeds, folks. But of course they had to do it that way. And now they'll be able to have Trump in there for another 8 years. And even though Trump hasn't been in office for the last four, the whole focus has been on him. The whole so-called truth movement, the whole resistance has been focused on Trump. And Trump is a complete Zionist stooge. I mean, he's already named his vice president, who is J.D. Vance, who's a full-blown Zionist. He's named the head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, as his treasurer. Larry Fink is a full-blown Zionist, and I went through on the last video that I showed you, J.D. Vance is connected to Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel runs all of the Palantir software, and Peter Thiel is heavily connected to BlackRock. BlackRock is completely owned by Jews. It's all the one thing, folks, and it's one big puppet show. And he is going to lead the world into hell, this guy. And also, because he was just shot, well, maybe he might want to bring in more screening for gun ownership and a few things like that. And, of course, all the Trumpites will say, yeah, this is a great idea. We need to, because someone took a shot at our hero. And like I said, I'm beginning to doubt that anybody took a shot at him. I really am. I think that they just used a blood pack, or maybe they nicked his ear or whatever. It seems ridiculous that anyone could have actually done that deliberately and just hit his ear. And none of the official story makes sense. Even the shooter supposedly on the roof, what's his name? Thomas Matthew Crooks. I can't find any evidence that he even got a shot off. And other people can't as well. There's been a lot more information come out in the last week or so since I did that last report. Something that I pointed out even when I did that report was that the gun is about 10 feet away from him on the roof. How did that happen? What, did he throw the gun away when he was shot in the head? And also, when you look at the dead body or a picture of the guy's head, there's a lot of blood and stuff, but there's no bullet wound to the forehead. There's no bullet wound to the head that you can see, not in the front of the head anyway. It's not likely that the shot came from the sniper team that everyone's been focused on. If it came from anyone, it must have come from the other team that nobody really was focused on, because they had eyes on him as well. But again, there's no shot to the front of the head. If that team shot, it would have been an entry wound on the front of the head. So who shot him? Another thing is, with him lying on the roof, there's no bullet casings. I mean, this is a crime scene. In any crime scene, the police put little yellow marks or red marks, little rings around where the bullet casings were for the forensics guys. There's none of that. We didn't see any of that on the roof. There was no little marks where the bullets were, and a little tag saying, you know, shell casing. None of that was there. There's also the video footage that surfaced of someone on the water tower. It really does appear that someone was on the water tower, folks. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's who shot the patsy, Thomas Matthew Crooks, while he was on the roof. Probably shot him with the first shot, and then sent another couple of shots into the audience as collateral damage. Trump did his little acting thing, dropped to the ground, and the guy on the water tower hurried away. It wouldn't surprise me if that's how it all went down, but there's no evidence at all that the guy on the roof actually fired any shots. And why would he have been there? Well, he might have thought that he was involved in some police exercise, although I doubt that he could be that stupid. Or perhaps he was just put there. I mean, I showed you a report in, oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago of Dr. Charles Morgan, where he talked about driving people like human drones.
From the human drone technology standpoint, you can attach the human brain to another human brain, you can direct motor activity, or you can send communication and information. Dr. Ventnor's work is, my view, the equivalent of the development of nuclear weapons when you realize that he created life in a cell. He programmed yeast cells to produce anything he wanted. These can be inserted into you through the hypospray needles. You put in a specific gene slicing, you program what you like, you put it in the cell, and it can reproduce and make as much as you like. It sends a signal and tells which portion of the DNA should unwrap, unfold, and produce a product. Related to this is an idea called DREADS. These are designer receptors that can be remotely controlled. You can create a cell, you can put it somewhere in the body, and you can remotely activate it. So you have the capacity to create any product. As long as you know the DNA sequence, you can insert it into a living system, and you can remotely control it. That may affect the way you think, the way you act. So once you know that the technology is there to edit, splice, and program a cell, and the technology currently exists to administer it to somebody and have it go park anywhere you program it to go park, proliferate, and do its function, you can have things activated in other people's brains.
So who knows, folks? Maybe that's how Crooks got on the roof. Perhaps they just drove him up there and he was confused and discombobulated, and they simply took him out with the first shot. And meanwhile, they're just continuing to genocide Gaza. Trump's come completely on board with it. He has surrounded himself by some of the worst swamp creatures on earth, J.D. Vance and Larry Fink, people like this, before he's even got in office, and you can imagine where it's going to go. And he's already threatening Gaza, as you saw in that clip that I had, in those little opening clips that I showed you there. So we better have our hostages back by the time I take power, or it's going to be very bad for you. Well, what do you think it is for them now? You know, the figure is 39,000, they say. According to the Lancet, it's around 186,000, and they estimate that that actually could be more than that. And I would say that it's a lot more than that. I would say that figure that the Lancet put out is also grossly underestimated. I wouldn't be surprised if at least 1 million people have been killed in Gaza now. They're doing what they can to kill as many as they can, and they're totally enjoying it. I mean, there's video footage of Israeli soldiers urinating on Palestinian bodies and kicking their dead bodies.
Come on, 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 come on محمد تقوم يا مخ
And that's the same guy that was in that opening clip that I showed you where he's literally standing on the head of two Palestinians giving you the finger because this is what Israelis do. While this is going on as well, they are attacking Palestinians in the West Bank for no reason at all. Settlers are just going in and beating up Palestinians. That's a very friendly thing to do. And Bibi Netanyahu has also ordered the destruction of 3,500 Palestinian homes. And not only that, he's making the Palestinians whose homes he's destroying pay for the destruction of their homes. Yeah, it's just next level sadism, next level genocide. But of course, it's not genocide. Now, you can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. Absolutely incredible, folks. Absolutely incredible. A lot of word getting out, a lot of stuff on Twitter, a lot of stuff on Telegram. Incidentally, Starmer, the new Prime Minister of England, Keir Starmer, however his name is pronounced, stupid freaking name. But this guy is coming for Telegram, folks. Got to get rid of the disinformation.
This Telegram has been described as the app of choice for extremists. And Mr. Speaker, if you can believe it, if the House can believe it, as we were paying tribute to Sir David on Monday, Telegram users could access videos of murders and violent threats against politicians, the LGBT community, women and Jews, as we were paying our respects. Some of these posts are illegal, all of them are harmful, and Hope Not Hate and the Board of Deputies have said that Telegram has, in their words, facilitated and nurtured a subculture that cheerleads for terrorists. Tough sanctions are clearly needed.
Yeah, that's the problem, folks, is that all of the governments are supporting this. And of course, Starmer has a Jewish wife, so what do you expect? Yeah, and they're just all as bad as each other, folks. That's why all politicians around the world are supporting this. It's ridiculous. And they're really doing what they can to push up the propaganda as well and to sway public opinion so that they just won't think anything about Palestine being wiped out. This is one of the reasons they're doing it now after they've flooded Europe with migrants, because the Western people just view all these migrants as Muslim invaders when half of them aren't even Muslim, probably more than half of them are Muslim. They're just invaders that have been brought in there, but the people in Western countries don't see it that way. They see them all as Muslims or just evil people that need to be eliminated. We need to get them out of our countries. And in the spirit of that, you've had a lot of defacement of monuments in the United States as well, stuff that's really precious to the people of the United States. Jewish infiltrators, obviously these people are Jewish, are going in there, scribbling, defacing all over these monuments, putting Free Palestine, Death to America on the Liberty Bell and stuff like this. Well, replicas of the Liberty Bell. And, you know, doing all this sort of stuff to stir up hatred towards the Palestinians. And, of course, it's Jewish infiltrators that are doing this, folks. Of course it is. One guy, the main instigator, who was burning a flag and all sorts of stuff, I don't know where, might have been in Washington. Nobody seems to know who this guy is. He's certainly not a Muslim, and you put it out on the internet and nobody knows this guy. So who is he? is probably an Israeli that was brought over there just for that very job. This is what they do, folks. Also, there's people breaking into the sports competitors in the Olympic Games in France. There was a group of Australian cyclists who went over there. Someone broke into their vans. And, of course, they're saying this is the Muslim invaders. Also, the Argentinian, I think it was a track and field or something like that. Might have been a soccer team. I don't know. It was some team doing something. I don't follow the Olympics. But an Argentinian group also had their locker room broken into and all their watches and jewelry stolen while they were training for the Olympics. So it seems to be a lot of good security there at Macron's Olympics. I'm sure they're all very happy about that. But all of this is designed to get people to hate the Muslims. They don't care that the people doing this are invaders or probably Israelis. It's all about hating the Muslims so Israel can continue its genocide of Gaza and claim all of Palestine as Israel. That's what's going on, folks. These are the most unconscionable and most deceptive people. Now, Bibi Netanyahu's speech in the House in the United States, he got 58 standing ovations in 60 minutes of speaking. I mean, that's almost one standing ovation per minute. And he's up there for an hour speaking barefaced lies, just lying through his teeth. This guy's one of the most prolific liars in all of the world. And he's up there getting one standing ovation per minute, just about, for the entire 60 minutes that he was up there sprouting his bullshit. Unbelievable stuff, folks. It's absolutely unbelievable that people buy into all this stuff, but that's the way it is. That's what they do. I mean, the media has really got full sway of people, and the level of disinformation is incredible, which, of course, is why they're coming for people like us and trying to shut down Telegram and kicking people off X and all the stuff they're doing in order to try to quell the flow of real information, because they simply don't want it getting out to people. But it's really so obvious what's going on, folks. I mean, even the fact that Israel has just minted a coin with Trump's face on it, this should show you that this guy is just as deceptive as any other politician that they've had in there, perhaps even more so. It really is incredible, folks, how much he's managed to deceive the people of the United States and people of many countries of the world, and how much people have actually bought into it and gone along with the whole charade. Because really, it's just a charade, folks. All politics is a charade, and it always has been. You know, it's all theater for the masses. They got to try to make themselves look good so they can continue to do bad. And in the spirit of that, the Australian government, Albo in the Australian government, has said that he's not going to be sending any more weapons to Israel because of Israel's activities in West Bank. Not that Australia actually really sends any weapons to Israel, I mean, nothing of significance, but they do a lot of logistics for them, like they give them coordinates for bombings and all sorts of stuff. And he didn't say anything about stopping that, of course, just that he's going to put a weapons sanction on Israel because of their activities in the West Bank. It's just theatre, folks. And at the same time, while he's doing that, he's bringing in new legislation to deal with anti-Semitism in Australia as well.
We have seen, since October 7 last year, a significant rise in anti-Semitism in Australia. And that is why the government has made the decision to appoint a special envoy on anti-Semitism. And I'm very pleased that Gillian Siegel has agreed to take up that role. Gillian has wide experience across our nation, but in particular is a proud member of the Sydney Jewish community, and is someone who will bring that experience she has in the business community, serving on boards, engaging with government, as well as with the community, to this role.
Figure that one out. Figure that one out, folks. Back in the secret garden, as you can see, it's really greened up a lot, folks. It's been raining here quite a bit in the last couple of weeks, and it's really picked up this place. It's really greened up. It's looking really, really well. Getting ready for an Acapulco again next year, of course, and that's going to be great. You want to look through the archway, I suppose. But yeah, crazy world. It's just been like a roller coaster ride the last couple of weeks since this Trump alleged ear shooting and everything that's gone on as a result of that. It's incredible how the media has changed. I mean, they were all hating on Trump for such a long time. Well, now he's like the best thing since sliced bread. Yeah, and what they've done in Gaza, they intend to do to the rest of the world, folks, in as much as they intend to depopulate the world. A lot of more 2.0 is where we're heading. Through starvation, I mean, a lot of people in Gaza are starving. You know, Israel is destroying all the food packages, all the food aid that goes in there. They don't want any aid going in there at all. If you look at the foreign minister, he doesn't want any aid. All he wants going in there is explosives from the sky, by his own words. And you've got Israelis, settlers, and even their children out there destroying food aid whenever it comes to the border or anywhere, or gets even close to the border. They go out there and they attempt to destroy it, or they do destroy it. Oh, but it's not genocide. Yeah, right. But getting on to what else is going on in the world. As I said, they intend to genocide most of the world, and they intend to do it through starvation. In the spirit of that, they have been spraying the skies for years on end and putting in all these 5G towers. And all the insects are dying, folks. So I commented maybe 5 years ago, I did a show called Everything is Awesome. And the show was just sarcasm. It was like an hour of sarcasm. And I went through all the stuff on that show. And I said how they were destroying all the insects. You notice there's no bugs on your windscreen anymore at dusk. Your windscreen used to be covered in bugs. Now they're all gone. There's no bees. That's why a lot of the crops aren't growing. Also, the amount of aluminium in the air that is falling down and raining down upon the soil is causing nothing to grow. The soil is becoming polluted. The 5G is doing a lot of damage, and the lack of insects is basically breaking down and destroying the food chain. And this is being done quite deliberately.
Where are all the insects? Let me just show you this. Just hold on a minute. I don't know whether you can see this. I've got a bit of glare on the screen, so I can't really be sure whether you're going to see it properly. This is a buddleia, yeah? All the lovely flowers on it. These are butterflies and bees' favourites. I mean, normally there's bees and butterflies on these all the time. I haven't seen one this year. Not one. There's a few flies about, but nothing like there should be. I mean, milking people will know this. In this time of year, they're an absolute pain in the fucking arse in the pile of the flies. But look, there's nothing on there. There's a few flies knocking about, but nothing like there should be. What do you think? Well, I looked at the cows yesterday in the yard. I mean, it was a crap day yesterday. There is open cloud today, but yesterday it was just overcast. It was warm, but just under that blanket that we've had all bloody summer. I mean, the grass growth is fucking awful. I've actually opened silage clamp yesterday because I just barely got any grass. I put a load of slurry out because we're going to get rain again. But what do you think? Conspiracy?
A lot of farmers are cottoning onto this now. That's a good thing to see, but perhaps a little too late. They're also bringing in massive amounts of digital tracking. Did you know your new iPhone, the new update on the new iPhone, actually tracks your eyeballs? You can actually navigate on your phone now with your eyes, and you can select whatever icon you want, whatever app you want, by blinking.
Oh, so my God, when you look guys, at it, this is mental. The iPhone update. I've already got it. I've been using the eye tracking feature where instead of like using your fingers like a commoner to use your phone, you just use your eyeballs.
Hang on, what? What's going on? You just look at the phone. This is like having a chip in your head. Here we go, I'm looking. Well, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, but hang on. It's calibrated to my eyes.
Oh. Oh, that, and then, sorry. Okay, so it's highlighting the app but not opening it. Then how do you open it? What did you do to do that? He blinked. He blinked. That's insane. Did anyone ever think that was coming so soon?
Well, that sounds great, doesn't it, folks? You know, kids today don't know how to use a dial phone. Soon they won't know how to type anything. It'll be great for when they're just lying in their pods, navigating the world with their eyes without ever leaving home or ever leaving the matrix-type cubicle that they're lying in. And soon future generations simply won't be able to do anything. Yeah, that's kind of creepy, don't you think, folks? New iPhone update. And this is all heading towards the same thing. Social crediting, mass surveillance. By the way, they're pulling down cameras in China now. I mean, we've seen the ULEZ people pulling down all these facial recognition and smart cameras through the UK. Now that's happening in Hong Kong. That's good to see. But, I mean, they're still pushing ahead anyway. The head of the EU, what's her name? Ursula von der Leyen. She has now, in her infinite wisdom, decided that we need an assets register. So let's know what you own. Let's know how much you've got in the bank. Let's just know just how well off you are. Put an asset register together so we can find out anyone might be doing a little bit too well. Perhaps they're up to illegal activity, like not allowing us to extort them as much as we should be. And perhaps they own a little bit too much and they're living a little bit too high and a little bit too well compared to the people around them. So we need to address such activity. So of course you need an assets register for that. So she's doing that. Also, we of course need to lock them down into smart cities and track their movements. They're talking about this with Sydney now. They're saying they're going to turn Sydney into a whole bunch of micro cities. Sounds a little bit more friendly than a 15-minute city or a smart city, doesn't it? No, it's a micro city where everything you need will be virtually at your fingertips, well within 15 minutes of your home. But it's not one of these 15-minute cities. It's a micro city.
There's a funny thing about Sydney where I think the 830th densest city in the world, and yet by most measures we're in the top 5 or the top 10 when it comes to the most expensive. Those two things are related. I can imagine it's really difficult, particularly for young couples. It used to be the case that people would say, when I was young, oh, will I ever be able to afford to buy a place in Sydney? And now a lot of people say, oh, will I even be able to afford to rent a place? So the cost of housing's exponentially grown. The Productivity Commission reported a couple of weeks ago that we're losing twice as many people between the ages of 30 and 40 than we're gaining. I think the cost of housing and the difficulty of living and working and joining a community meant that a lot of people up and left. The measure of a city's vibrancy is how many young people are part of it. And if you can get young people part of a city, then they will open clubs, start businesses, think about creative and fun ways of reimagining the city. And if they're doing that in Queensland or Western Australia or Victoria, it's at our loss. It's at Sydney's loss. We can have a modest change to the amount of houses that we build each year, and over time it can make a massive difference to the cost of housing. We're not trying to demolish the character and the nature of Sydney, but just a little bit more will go a long, long way. Change is long, it's going to take time, but I promise you the changes that we make today will make a major difference in the years ahead. We really want to get the message out to young people that we're in this for them. We want them to claim their bit of this great city, because that was what was given to their parents and their parents' parents and the generation prior to that. And we don't want young people in New South Wales to be the first generation to miss out on their bit of Sydney.
Incredible face. They're doing it in some places in the Netherlands as well, where they've actually gone as far as to say they want to bring in electric vehicles in all these cities, and they want to have one vehicle per three households. So you're going to be sharing your car with your neighbours. Isn't that wonderful, folks? That's the plan. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Is what they want to do, folks, and they're still going ahead and pushing towards it. Or to protect you, of course, because of the terrible, terrible climate change, which is completely ridiculous. There is no climate change. As I pointed out before, there's actually a carbon shortage in the world.
What is climate change? I mean, I think the question that the young lady asked over here is very valid. Young people are highly intelligent, but I wonder whether they're being told, or which they're entitled to, all the facts in relation to this. When I ask, well, just a moment, Alice, you've been speaking for most of the night. When I asked Tanya Plibersek, was the deputy leader of the Labor Party and the potential deputy prime minister, was carbon dioxide the big issue in relation to climate change? And she said yes. I then said, well, that being the case, what percentage of the atmosphere is made up of carbon dioxide? What is causing climate change? Is it carbon dioxide?
Yes, carbon dioxide pollution is a major contributor.
Okay, so can I ask you, this is not a trick question, what percentage of the Earth's air is carbon dioxide?
Oh, I don't know.
And I say, hang on, you don't know what percentage of the atmosphere is carbon dioxide, and yet you're prepared to stand the economy on its head to address a problem, the detail of which you don't know. So when I then explain that the percentage of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, Alice, is how much? Alice, how much of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere?
To answer the question, Scott Morrison has said he believes in climate change and that he wants to do something about it.
Alice, how much carbon dioxide is the problem? How much carbon dioxide is there in the atmosphere?
I'm not a scientist. Too much. I don't know.
Well, hang on. If you're going to argue the case, you ought to know. It's 0.04%. And of that 0.04%, human beings around the world create 3%. And of that 3%, Australia creates 1.3%. But if carbon dioxide is 0.04% of the atmosphere, and human beings are responsible for 3%, of that 0.04%, and Australia's responsible for 1.3% of the 3% of the 0.04%, it's like saying there's a granule of sugar on the Harbour Bridge. Clean the bridge up, it's dirty. Surely if a political party doesn't know the quantum of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, what the hell are we standing the economy on its head for? Demonising coal-fired power, driving everyone into renewable energy, which is not available, not reliable and not affordable, plonking us in electric cars, giving us nearly the dearest electricity in the world when we're rich in energy resources, exporting coal so that China and India and Japan can have cheap electricity, and we sit here swallowing this ideological rubbish, putting industry at risk, jobs at risk, and burying the economy.
That was pretty wisely said by Alan Jones. I mean, you've got to respect the guy sometimes, even though he's a rampant homosexual pedophile who's not allowed in Europe. can never go back to Europe because of love letters he was sending to a 10-year-old boy. But somehow he seems to still be on Australian television. And he actually does say some pretty on-the-point things now and then. But of course you need that sort of stuff. You need to hear someone on air saying the things you want to hear. Otherwise there might be some sort of terrible rebellion. And we don't want that, do we, folks? No, no. But everything's so contrived. It's like one big puppet show that's going on at the moment, folks. The transition is into the world they want us to transition into. And leading the way is Donald J. Trump. Quite remarkable how they've gotten away with it, folks. And as I showed you in that opening clip as well, even Israel says that the attempted assassination on Trump is good for Israel. Forget about all the vax damage. Forget about all the stuff that's going on in Gaza. Forget about all the depopulation of your countries. Forget about the migrant invasion. Forget about us destroying the food chain. Have the Olympic Games, you know, feed them bread and circuses, and have your new hero, Donald Trump, the new savior of mankind, or at least certainly the savior of the United States. Forget about all the vax damage and all that sort of stuff. Incidentally, folks, they've done studies on autistic children, and they've found that there is not one autistic child who is unvaccinated.
How many children or people are totally unvaccinated? Is that where do you find? Is it just the parents that stepped up and said? I would think that's a very small percentage because so many of us blindly followed, you know, the recommendations to vaccinate children.
Yeah, it's less than 1% of the public. So the Amish are a perfect example of a large group of people who are largely unvaccinated. And there's no we can't find an autistic kid who was unvaccinated. It's very, very rare in the Amish community, very, very rare. You won't find kids with ADD, with autoimmune disease, with panda pans, with epilepsy. You just don't find any of these chronic diseases in the Amish. And you know, the U.S. government has been studying the Amish for decades, but there's never been a report out to the public. The reason, of course, is it would show that, if you don't follow our guidelines, you're going to end up healthier. That's why there's no report after decades of studying the Amish. There's no report because the report would be devastating to the narrative. It would show that the CDC has been harming the public for decades and saying nothing and burying all the data.
That's remarkable, wouldn't you think? Only vaccinated children are autistic. Think about that. Not every vaccinated child is autistic. But every child that has autism was vaccinated. That's a little telling, don't you think? Of course, people wanted to find out a little bit more about the vaccines and what was in them, so they did a Freedom of Information Act in Australia to get some information on this. And the Australian government finally, in their infinite wisdom and in their infinite caring for the population and their infinite pursuit of knowledge for the population, released a 78-page report, every single word of which was redacted. And that should tell you everything you need to know about their vaccine. But you know, they're just pushing it and pushing it. They're pushing robots in the home as well, folks. Japan is creating new robots that you can have as servants in your home.
Thank you.
它在商业领域的这种应用也是可以复制的，像我刚才说的酒店的前台，然后公共行政服务中心的这个接待员，然后还有很多的工作，它其实人形机器人都可以胜任。那么另外呢，走到千家万户，它一定是最大量的一个需求。那么我们也认为每一个人将来家里面可能都会有一个人形机器人为他服务，甚至是不止一个。那么这样的一个大量的需求 2C 的需求出现之后，那么这就是这个行业大爆发的时候了。
And where have we seen that before? It's funny, the predictive programming that you see in movies, they tell you exactly what they intend to do, and they just kind of normalize everything. That's why they're bringing these robots in. Yeah, and it's just, I guess they need to do it because a lot of people are waking up. I mean, Israel has red-pilled a lot of the world, even in that whole speech that Netanyahu just gave to Congress. A lot of people weren't there. The House was full, of course, but apparently there's supposed to be 216 members there and only actually about 100 intended. So they got a rent-a-crowd in there to just look official and to stand up and cheer and give standing ovations on cue, to make it look like it was a full attendance and that the entire country supports Netanyahu. They just kind of do this sort of stuff and the media plays it that way. But apparently, according to many sources, not all of the politicians were in attendance. Now, a lot of people don't like what's going on, and that's good to see. But the whole political show is just a puppet show anyway. I mean, look what these people have done, folks. They've poisoned most of the world with this jab. They've been carrying out massive money laundering operations through Ukraine. They're all supporting the genocide of Gaza. When is enough going to be enough for the people of the world? Yeah, a lot of people ask me why I do what I do. Why do I continue to do this? Why do I bother? Well, it's because of justice, folks, because it needs to be done. You know, a lot of people have said that. I mean, you should go home, Max. You should just go back and forget all this stuff, you know. But what sort of a person would I be if I did that? You know, and I was literally forced to leave my home to continue speaking out. I do intend to go back and sort things out there, but, you know, you can't look at this and not be moved by it and not do something about it, or at least attempt to do something about it. And I firmly believe the best thing to do about it is to awaken the masses to realize that this whole thing is a fiction. Your belief in government is what makes the government real. Your belief that they have this authority is what gives them this authority. Sure, there's guys out there with black Kevlar enforcing their laws for them, but there's billions of us. If we were to all stand up and say no, this whole thing would go away. And the easiest way to do that, the best way to do that, is for people to remember who and what they are. People to remember that this whole system is not designed to help you. It's designed to control you and make sure you're kept in a state of scarcity, make sure you're kept unhealthy, and just to move it towards further depopulation, get the population down to a more manageable level. That's the plan with all this, folks, and that's always been the plan. You know, and they're still playing victim while they do it. The Jews are still playing victim. The people in Israel are still playing victim while they do this. All speaking out about the Holocaust while they're carrying out a Holocaust. And why is it only that Holocaust that we hear about? The Holocaust of the Jews in World War II. For again, there is absolutely no evidence to confirm that any of this ever happened. I've shown you the figures before. Worldwide Jewish population figures showing that the population of Israel, or the population, Jewish population, worldwide Jewish population, actually increased by 1.4 million between 1933 and 1948. So if the population increased by 1.4 million, well, where's the 6 million Jews that allegedly died in the Holocaust? What about the somewhere between 2 and 11 million Germans that were killed in Rhein-Wiesenlager? What about the Holocaust that happened in Russia? What about so many Holocausts, all of which were run by Jews? You know, in Russia, in the prison camps, in the gulags, every single gulag commandant was a Jew. Something like 262 million people killed in the 20th century by their own governments, and all of the kill operations were run by Jews. And they put everybody against each other. the whole slavery thing. You know, black slavery. We've got to pay reparations and apologise to the black people for all the slavery. When the first slaves that were brought to the United States were all Irish, they're all white, and white slaves are actually more prolific a couple of hundred years ago than black slaves.
Did you know white slaves were sold in the 17th century more than blacks in America, with a staggering death rate between 37% to 50%? This is the story the history books will not tell you, nor will they teach it in school. Irish and black slaves were shipped to the sugar plantations in Barbados. Modern-day historians call the white slaves indentured servants, and they never refer to them as slaves. These white slaves had to work 14 hours a day with no wages in the worst working conditions, equivalent to the same harsh, hard labor that existed in the gulag.
See, why do we only hear about one side of the story? And why is it always designed to put people against each other? You know, if the white people and the black people actually united, and if the Muslims and the Christians actually united, we could get rid of this Jewish problem, because it's Jews behind the whole damn thing, folks. Yeah, argue whether it's Jesuits or whatever, it's all the one thing. It's all the same people, folks. And you look at the support that all these nations are giving to Israel through this genocide that they're carrying out in Gaza, and you begin to see a little bit more of the bigger picture, folks, and what's going on here. It's pretty horrific. It's really horrific, folks. Hasn't this place come along in the last couple of weeks, folks? I think it's been like 3 weeks or something since I came here and did a walk and talk. I've done a whole bunch of interviews and stuff, but it's been a while since I did a walk and talk, and it's just nice to come back here after it's rained. I mean, it's looking really, really good. Better than what's going on in many other countries anyway. It's good here in Mexico. Big problems happening in Australia as well, as I've said many times. The immigration there, bringing in 100,000 migrants a year, mainly Indian people. These guys are doing crazy things, folks. They're getting all the cheap drugs. A lot of them are getting truck driver jobs. And because they can make more money, they don't want to stop their runs. They don't want to stop and have to go to the bathroom or anything like that. So many of these Indian drivers in Australian semi-trailers are actually cutting a hole through the floor of their cabin so they can take a dump through the floor of the cabin without having to stop the truck. And this is covering the motors in excrement, and mechanics are refusing to work on semi-trailers that are driven by Indian drivers. And while it's all happening, I mean, and think about that, it's pretty wild, folks. Imagine the smell in the cab. You got a hole in the floor and you got turds cooking on your motor. And they're okay with this. I guess that's what India smells like anyway, so they're not really noticing. But this is the sort of stuff that's going on. There's a massive housing shortage in Australia. Saying, oh, there's a housing crisis. No, there isn't a housing crisis. There's a housing shortage, which is due to the immigrant crisis that the government has created deliberately. It's like $7 for a loaf of bread in Australia or something at the moment as well. It's just outrageous, folks, what's going on. It really is. And it's just getting worse and worse all around the world. And that's the plan, folks. That's the plan. But anyway, I think that's about all I want to say to you, folks. I think that's about all I got on my list here. You know, it's been a hell of a couple of weeks. Biden stepping down. And all there was a Twitter post. There was no official announcement of him stepping down. There was just a Twitter post. And then when he appeared in public, you know, after a couple of days and a lot of speculation about what's going on here, he appeared in public and he seemed to be 5 inches taller. Just another guy in a mask, folks. I mean, Biden hasn't ever been president. They just had some guy in a mask. You've got the guy with the earlobes, the guy without the earlobes, and now, since he decided to step down, he's 5 inches taller. Seems like he stepped up then, doesn't it? Yeah, folks, it's theatre for the masses, the whole thing. As I mentioned before, I'm going to be speaking at Liepaja in Serbia, well, in Liberland, right next to Serbia, in the beginning of September. I think it's September 6th, 7th and 8th or something like that. It's going to be 3 days. And that's going to be great, folks. So if you're in Europe, please do come along to the first Liverpool Co. And it should happen quite frequently, I think. I think it will be another yearly thing, the same as Anarchapulco. And there's a link below for Liverpulco. You can go and check it out. And if you want to go and buy a ticket for that, you can use my name, Egan, my last name, I-G-A-N, and you get yourself a 10% discount on the ticket. It's going to be really good. Jeff's going to be there. David Avocado Wolf's going to be there. Steve Falconer from Space Busters is going to be there. I'll be there. There'll be plenty of time to mingle and chat. So all those people in sort of northeastern Croatia who are a little bit peeved that I didn't go to that region while I did my Croatian tour, you can just jump across the border into Liberland and come and check it out. It's going to be great, folks. I'm really looking forward to it. I didn't think I'd be going back to Europe so soon, but, well, here I am. That's going to be good. And also, Anarchapulco is going to be happening here in the Secret Garden in February. There's a link to that below as well. Same deal. If you use my name as a coupon, you'll get yourself a 10% discount on that ticket. So do come along and check out these events, folks. But, you know, if it's too hard for you to get to Mexico, you live in Europe or whatever, now you can come to Liverpulco, and that's going to be awesome. Beautiful area, like Serbia, Bosnia, Croatia. The whole area is really, really nice, folks. The Balkans is one of the most beautiful parts in all of Europe. It really is. It's a wonderful area. Beautiful people and just beautiful countryside. So do come along and check it out if you can afford to, or if you just want to come and say hi. It would be good. I got a few more interviews coming up. Thank you to the people that sent me those interview requests. Thank you to all the people who've ever sent me a kind email. There's been numerous emails and it's been really good to receive them all. I've been having a bit of problem with my WhatsApp, so I got to try to work that out, but yeah, I'm not good with all this technological stuff, folks. But it's remarkable seeing where we are, how it's all happened in the last 100 years, 120 years. You know, World War One, World War Two, which was essentially the one war, just a big lull in the middle, and now culminating in this whole New World Order they want to roll out, and the complete destruction of Gaza. And once they've gone through Gaza, it won't stop there. They'll take over Lebanon, they'll take over Syria, they'll take over the Greater Sinai, and they'll take over parts of Egypt all the way to the Nile. That's their plan, folks. That's the plan for Greater Israel. And while they're doing that, they're also getting control of all the good farmland in Ukraine while wiping out the farming everywhere else. There was another chicken farm went off in the United States. I think 12 million chickens burnt to death in the United States. So this is just an ongoing thing, folks. Starvation is how they're doing it. And even the people that are going off grid are finding that it's really, really difficult to grow food because of the aluminium in the air, the aluminium in the soil, and the lack of insects. The 5G and the aluminium, the chemtrails, is really doing a number on the bees. They're killing bees in Australia still. And they're spraying in, I think it's El Salvador. I think it's El Salvador. They're spraying for some virus, some bullshit virus, dengue fever or some crap. And they're literally just spraying poison on everything. Anybody who happens to be outside, all the birds, all the insects, all the animals, all the wildlife, just spraying poison for another one of their non-existent pathogens. It's incredible, folks, what's happening. So you've got to prepare for all this sort of stuff. And rather than preparing for it, I mean, wouldn't it be great to stop it happening? Wouldn't it be great if people just said enough is enough and realised that there's no way to vote yourself out of this? Voting for Trump, voting for Biden or Kamala or whoever it's going to be running now, it doesn't make any difference. They all work for the same people. They're all pushing towards the same agenda. They all want to make you think that they're on your side, but none of them are. They're all billionaires. They don't give a shit about you. They never did. If they did, they wouldn't be billionaires to begin with. We are in such a crucial time, folks. We really are. We are in such a crucial moment in history. And it's so important that people see it and stand up now. Now, if they don't stand up now, then it's going to be lost. The big net outage that they had the other day, heaps of countries, all the banking system went down, the airline system went down. This is why you need cash, which is, of course, why they're pushing their whole digital thing. No, it's just a test, of course. They do these beta trials to see how it's all going to work when they shut everything down, if they're going to get the chaos they desire, if they're going to get everyone freaking out and asking them to please fix things. Oh, my God, my bank card doesn't work. Please help me, sir. Rather than just pulling some money out of their pocket and going and buying stuff anyway and getting on with their life, no, they've got to be dependent upon this system.
Because the intersection of big data, connectivity, and artificial intelligence, and what it does in robotics and genetics and all the other fields, Uli, that you mentioned, everything, that is changing our world in rapid, rapid succession. And the future belongs to those who can seize this change. We are positioned right at the cusp of this change, right at the center of this change. We can take it, and we are. It's changing. It's giving us powers and prowess that we never had before. And cyber is a real domain of power.
It's a new kind of warfare, very different from what we've seen before. I'm talking about the capacity, and it's not imaginary, it's not futuristic, and it's not exaggerated. With the click of a button, you can bring down nations to their knees very rapidly, if you so desire.
I said many years ago, they're creating a digital barrier between you and reality, and you're going to need to abide by every rule of this digital barrier in order to have access to the most basic things of life. Once they bring the digital ID in and all this sort of shit, you're going to have to be up on your social credit points, you're going to be up on your carbon credit points, and of course you're going to have to be fully vaccinated in order to even get your digital ID, and if you don't do that, then you're not going to be able to do anything because all your life is going to be online. All stored on the cloud, of course. You shouldn't put anything on the cloud, folks. When you put stuff on the cloud, you're just putting all your data onto a government server and giving them control of it, giving them the ability to lock you out of it whenever they want. That's what they do. That's why they're putting it all in place, folks, so they can lock you out if you're not doing the right thing and engaging in wrong think. Don't want any wrong think, folks. That's why we've got people like Starmer coming for Telegram, because we don't want any wrong think. We don't want people saying things that aren't government approved. And people just go along with it. People think, oh, yeah, it's the way we've got to do things. And like I said, folks, imagine the excuses Trump's going to be able to use, saying, well, you know, someone took a shot at me, so perhaps we need to just get rid of AR-15s or have a tighter registering process or something, you know. Because, hey, I got shot. And all the Trumpites will go, yeah, yeah, he's probably right. We don't want our hero to get shot at again. And like I said, folks, that wasn't anything like what they told us. And I'm leaning more and more towards this thing being totally fake. Be interesting to see what his ear looks like when it comes out of the bandage. There were a few pictures circulating online claiming that here's his ear and it's not hurt at all, but there's no way of proving this is a real photograph, and it could have been taken before the alleged shooting. It could have been taken a couple of years ago. We just don't know. So, you know, the videos that I've seen of Trump getting up and speaking at rallies or whatever since then, he's had a little bandage, or a little band-aid anyway, on his ear. There was doctors' reports coming out saying that there's going to be like a $10,000 plastic surgery job is going to have to be done on his ear in order to repair it. We just don't know. So, of course, That'd be the classic, wouldn't it? You know, he'll go and get the plastic surgery done before he shows his ear in public, and it'll look as good as new, almost like nothing ever hit it in the first place. Plausible deniability. They like this sort of stuff, folks. They really do tend to think ahead. But anyway, like I said, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. Thank you again to anybody who's ever sent me a kind email. Thank you to all those people who are going to come to Liverpulco and Anarchapulco. Liverpulco is going to be great, folks. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be great to be in that European vibe and doing the speaking as well. I mean, Europe is really crumbling fast. Of course, while they give them bread and circuses with the Olympic Games. And the Olympic Games have invited Israel to compete in the Olympic Games. Unbelievable, folks. This country is carrying out a genocide and they've invited them to compete in the Olympic Games. Wouldn't it be a great thing if all of the Olympic athletes, you get up for track and field or you get up for whatever, weightlifting, whatever. I mean, I know it's a big thing, getting into the Olympics. This is your big chance in life. But what about the Palestinian lives? Wouldn't it be great if every competitor in the Olympic Games, if there's an Israeli competing in your event, wouldn't it be great if they all just stepped down and left the Israeli there on their own to run the race or do the track and field or throw the javelin or whatever it is they're doing? Play ping pong by themselves. Wouldn't it be great if they made that stand and all simply held up Free Palestine flags and left the area and left the Israeli competitor there on his own? Wouldn't that be a great statement? I'd love to see something like that happen. So hey, any Olympic athletes that might be watching this, maybe spread that word around and see what you can come up with. Yeah, just a thought. And no, that's not being anti-Semitic, folks, because the people who run Israel aren't Semites. Incidentally, another thing that just came to me before I go. You know, we hear about the Ashkenazi Jews all the time, the Jews that came out of Europe. It's very difficult to kind of track all this and figure out what's going on with the Khazars and the Ashkenazis and whatever, who these white-skinned Europeans masquerading as Jews are who are running Israel at the moment. Well, with Operation Paperclip, we know they shipped a whole bunch of Nazis out of Germany and they brought them to the United States and to other countries. An interesting thing is that when these Nazis were being processed, they kept them in a special camp in Germany, maybe in Switzerland, but somewhere around there, and it was Camp Ashkan. That's where they kept the Nazis that they brought in Operation Paperclip, the Ashkan Nazis. Isn't that an interesting little coincidence, folks? Of course, it's just a coincidence. But I wonder if that's where the whole Ashkenazi concept comes from. People will say, oh no, it's biblical, right, right, it's this, it's that. Well, we don't know, folks. And I don't believe any of those biblical stories. I think the whole thing is a bunch of bullshit designed to control people. I think it's remarkable that this Camp Ashkan would have ever existed and that's where they kept the Nazis that they brought to the West. The Nazis from Ashkan, the Ashkan Nazis. Funny how things have a way of revealing themselves, you know. But anyway, folks, yeah, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you to anybody who's ever sent me a kind word. Thank you to all the people out there on the front line getting this word out. It's so important that you do. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. If you've ever wanted to, folks, now would be a great time. Things are very short and tight at the moment, and I would really appreciate some contributions this month if it's at all possible. I know times are hard, and of course you need to look after yourself first, but if you have got a little bit of spare change, it would be great if you could throw something in the kitty for me. There, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company. I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. I'll try to bring you reports a little bit more regularly. It's been difficult, folks. My sleeping patterns have been all over the place. I'm sort of sleeping all day and I'm up all night. It's crazy. I go to bed at 10 o'clock and don't sleep. Go to bed at midnight, don't sleep. lie there till 6 in the morning and think, well, I may as well get up. Then I get up and by 9 o'clock I'm just dead and I go to sleep and then wake up at 3 or 4 o'clock or even 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And so my whole day is kind of shifted into the opposite of what it should be. And that's why you haven't been getting any walking talks from me, because I've been asleep all day and up all night. I can't really come here and do them at night. So I'm sorry about the quality of my last video as well. I got new screen capture software and I didn't realise that my camera was set on such low quality. So even though the video clips and stuff I included are all normal, I look very, very fuzzy, and my apologies for that. I'm still getting used to that particular software, so yeah. Anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care until then, and please continue to stand up and get the word out and encourage others to do the same. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon, folks, in Lakesh.
Truth by now. There's nothing but the claims, no ashes in the ground, no real gas chambers were ever found. Aren't you all sick of blaming Nazis? Don't leave any unturned stone. Read about Kristallnacht, pour the truth of Hitler's. Understand history is warped by the Jews. You should all know by now the gas don't choose. Oh, it's the truth. Yeah, yeah. We tried to save our race. We fought that war with grace. But the Jews, they helped our foes. We did our best to fight. Avoid the coming mess, but our enemies sunk so low. They killed most of our civilians and left the rest with no homes. Read of Ernst's plight, how he had to fight for the right to speak the truth about all those lying Jews. He got thrown into jail for saying the gas truth. Oh, but it's the truth. Yeah, yeah. Oh, the truth shouldn't be so confusing. And to learn it frees up your mind. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The only victors of World War II, they were Jews. They were Jews. The more we got a plan to remove these Jews, they hate who you are and want to kill you too.
In 1998, the Steven Spielberg-produced documentary The Last Days was released. The film focused on chronicling the experiences of five Jewish Hungarian Holocaust survivors. It was released to rave reviews and won the 1999 Academy Award. One star of the film claims to have repeatedly defecated and swallowed diamonds for a year and a half while in Auschwitz and on death marches. She also claims to have been selected to have her skin turned into a lampshade, claims she had her tattoo removed by Dr. Mengele, and also escaped from inside a gas chamber.
I think that was Mengele that took me out of there. And he just attached me to that gypsy prison, and I went to the gas chamber. And as I was going into the gas chamber, you know, everybody was being pushed into the gas chamber. And I was going backwards. Somehow I was being pushed backwards. And I was like stuck in the door. And I don't know, I guess God told me to do that.
This black American soldier, featured prominently in Spielberg's documentary, claims to have stormed the beaches of Normandy and liberated Dachau. However, wartime documents prove he was hundreds of miles away at the time of both events. The tagline of The Last Days is "Everything you're about to see is true." In the following presentation, you're going to witness the overwhelming amount of evidence which proves that the Holocaust documentary, The Last Days, is in reality Steven Spielberg's big lie.